Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. I had to think. We're usually at the Omni Nashville Hotel on Thursdays, but here today and excited to be here as always. He's Big Joe Duman. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studio behind the glass. What's up, JoJo?
Oh, man, it is a beautiful – I left the house this morning. It was 40 degrees, and I had to go speak to a little group out in Hermitage. Had a good time, and I come back out, and it's like 68. And so I'm dressing like I'm going to the Alaskan Barrier Reef, and I come back out, and I'm like, what's going on here? So, no, it's good, and it's like 70-something right now.
This is
the weather I like, you know. And so it's funny you talk about what day is it. We will not be back into the palatial studios of 102.5 The Game for almost 2 weeks. We're going to be on the road and be gone that much, which is great. We love meeting the people. So we're a little off today. Next week will be Thursday here. Of course, we're headed down to Florida, Key West, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we'll talk much more about that.
Yeah. No, it'll be good. Looking forward to it, getting out of here. So we're here today. The very funny, our buddy Brian Bates is going to join us. He's going to come down here to Omni at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
And we'll talk some, you know, comedy, sports, everything with him.
No, he's like us. He's from Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
He went to Lee's from Lebanon.
We can get some comedy advice, too.
Yeah, we need. That's it's free, too.
Yes.
Because we got him on the show. Yeah. We're not dumb.
We got this. So we're excited about that. Predators fell in overtime last night. We'll talk about that and the controversy at the ending. But Mike Borgonzi spoke today, and I was pleasantly surprised when I turned that press conference on, and the only person I saw was Mike Borgonzi.
I thought that was very good, and I thought it was a nice press conference.
I thought it was let me talk a second. I want to pull up a tweet.
Well, I did not know that Mike Borgonzi came from Kansas City because he never mentions it. If you did the Mike Borgonzi Kansas City mentioned drinking game, 3 minutes in, you were passed out. And I get it. I mean, that's where he came from, and that's the one where you talk about because they've had the most success.
I thought Paul Kuharsky summed it up perfectly with this tweet. The standard for Titans press conferences is low, but Mike Borgonzi was articulate and authoritative about important matters. Further shows me he is the best football person in the building, should be lead decision maker on coach.
So we still don't know who the, because they didn't say it, who the guy that is in charge, right? Or the person?
He was asked, Jared asked, and I thought it was the best answer to that question that anybody out of that building has given. It didn't fully answer the question.
It
was the best answer that has been given.
To me, it came nowhere near answering the question.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, and Chad's this.
Well,
and
see,
Amy's
I
that.
Took
and like,
I took away from it that, especially to the part of, and this could have been a follow-up question, but that the general manager and the coach, you know, work so close together. So I have told Chad and Amy, I need to be very close with the coach, which I think was a nice way of saying, I need to pick the coach.
Which is fine. I'm all
about
that.
That's exactly what needs to happen.
Because he's a football guy.
Yes.
Right? And he starts saying, Chad, well, Chad's good in analytics and strategy and that. I was like.
Then leave Chad in the back with the analytics
and
the stats and all that stuff. Like, that's fine. Like, that's why Rand Carthon hired him. But then all of a sudden, now you've put him in charge.
Yep.
And look, I think what Borgonzi was saying that was, at first, he was trying to walk around the question, and he was saying, like, look, you know, every organization kind of has a setup like this, but titles, you know, and all that stuff, which he's right and he's wrong. Like, titles do matter. I know a lot of people that don't like the title that they have or somebody else has will say they don't matter. They do matter. I mean, they mean something. And he is if Chad Brinker is the president of football operations, that speaks to me that dude's in charge. That dude don't need to be in charge.
Okay. I didn't hear all of it. Did he talk about why there are no more trades?
A little bit. He was asked if injuries had anything to do with it, and he quickly said no. I know he was asked specifically about – and I don't know what exactly we have pulled, Nick, so if you have something like this, just let us know. But I know he was asked specifically about Simmons. and that they determined that Simmons was a pillar and somebody they needed to hang on to.
Okay.
Which, more which that's okay. Fine. What else are you going to say?
Yeah.
Like that, to me, I think, okay, yeah.
Do we know that Simmons did not go to them and said, look, I want to be here. I like it here. My family's here. I'm good here. Let's keep me here. We don't know that.
Here's what he said about Simmons.
You say building for the future, though, as you did with Draymond. Does that not enter into the picture with Jeff as well as your probably your most valuable asset, you know, that could be traded?
Well, you have to weigh those options, and you know, you say it's a business, but like when you weigh those options, you look at it and you say, you know, what do we have here? And he's a pillar here in this organization for what you want, and he's one of the best players in the league in his position. And the way he works every day of practice, I don't know if I've seen a defensive lineman superstar like him, you know, just empty the tank every day at practice. It's impressive. And when your best player does that and younger guys look to him, that's what you want. That's what I'm talking about being a standard.
That was Mike Borgonzi on Jeffrey Simmons.
Okay. I mean, fine. You answered the question. Moving on now with all that. It's good to go. Now, the interesting thing was he's talked about how he works closely with the head coach. How closely do you think he's worked with Mike McCoy? I mean, you got to, right? He's
right
your
now,
coach.
Right now, yes.
You have to because he's your guy. You got to let him know who you're bringing on, who you think about bringing on.
I got no indication from that press conference that he feels that Mike McCoy is going to be the permanent head coach.
Oh, God, no.
Like, I mean, he's – the way he was talking was basically saying, like, you know, when we get a new coach and talking to coaches and all that stuff. So, I mean, I think he knows they're going to go out and find somebody. Now, one thing that really kind of piqued my interest was when talking about Cam, he said, you know, now could the offense change? Maybe. And I was like, oh, okay, I see. He wants to find a coach that can run a similar offense to what Cam is already comfortable with.
Well, sure.
And that makes right. total sense.
It absolutely does, which means Cam might have a tad bit of input. Yeah. I don't think he has a major decision. Like, this is my guy, but I think Cam needs to – if he's your guy, Cam Ward needs to sit in on every meeting you have with potential head coach.
You know what I would do? I would walk in with – three plays from three different playbooks, from three different offensive terminologies. Don't tell them who, and just throw them down and go, what do you think works better for you and you're more comfortable with?
To Cam?
Yeah. And let him answer that question, and then you go, okay, cool. And that can give you an idea of terminology that might work better.
Well, you hope they already asked that question. Yeah, I hope Callahan went through that with him.
Well, I'm saying no, right? But I'm saying now,
right?
You know, and you do that with candidates.
Does he not have? Was this offense not built for him to be comfortable?
I mean,
you hope it was.
I think
if
it was.
Not,
I think they hoped it was going to be, but I don't think it was. Look, I don't think Callahan's as smart of an offensive guy as maybe he led us to believe.
How did he get the job? I mean, how – I'd love to sit in that interview. Like, how did he convince them?
You are, what, 56 years old?
57.
57. See, I took a year off for you.
Thank you. You didn't have to do that.
You're 57 years old.
Uh-huh.
Have you met people that know how to BS their way pretty good through an interview and sell you on something?
Yeah, but that's like getting a job at MAPCO. This is being the head coach of a National Football League team. And everybody's an expert. All the – I mean, so I just – all right, I know he's gone. They're 1-8. They're gone. They get a bye week and all that stuff. But and they got eight games to finish the season out, and you look forward to next year. But you still got games to play this year, man. You still got a lot of things that you hope make accomplish or do. And so you got to play. You just can't put an X by there and say we forfeit these games. It's going to be interesting to see.
Don't you think they wish they could, though?
How much going forward is done. Because they come back out of the break versus Houston – Houston's tumbling as well right now. So
Houston's awful. They're terrible.
So you could say, Houston, we got a problem. You could do that.
That's at Big Joe on the go.
Well, Houston, we got a problem.
You
could do that.
Yeah, you could. One of our – by the way, you can text or call 615 737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The first two texts I see are about James Franklin. 1157, James Franklin is available. No, 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 no.
For what?
For the Titans.
Are you guys, what are you guys smoking today? No, James Franklin. No. James Franklin ain't built for the NFL. James Franklin's built for Gainesville.
Where did he, wasn't he an assistant with Green Bay or something?
Or Minnesota. Yeah, oh, yeah, no. He was. That's right, Green Bay.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, no. Brink, I don't know if Brinker was there, though.
Okay, well, hang on. I'll look at that during the break, because otherwise, oh, no.
Oh, I don't know. With I think they were there early, because Franklin was there like 07 or 08. When did Brinker get to Green Bay?
2009.
Oh, it might have crossed in the hallway when Franklin's picking the stuff to get out of there. I know James went from there to Maryland, I think.
Yeah, because he was the coach in waiting at Maryland before he came to Vanderbilt. 2005, so yeah.
Okay,
they did
good.
They did not cross
Yeah,
that.
So don't
he
call
He went
here.
To Kansas State, then Maryland.
Yeah, because he worked with Josh Johnson, the quarterback that's been in the league for 80 years.
Yeah.
So don't call us about James Franklin. We will lead the charge on a no for James Franklin.
Yes.
Let James go to Blacksburg or Gainesville.
I think he's going to Blacksburg.
Get out of here.
I kind of feel like that's where he's going to go. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls, take your texts. What did you think of Mike Borgonzi's press conference earlier today? We will discuss this. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni, 1025 The Game.
Yeah. What did Mike Tyson say? Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. But, yeah, I mean, there's a plan for him, and the plan right now is for him to still develop, and he has been developing, and I give credit to Nick and to Bo and to Mike on his development. That's part of it, the development plan. Now, will the offense change next year? Maybe. But in terms of the fundamentals and mechanics, understanding how to play the position, I think we have some really good coaches here to develop him.
That'll probably go away.
Yeah, right.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. That was Mike Borgonzi, Titans GM. Earlier today, I appreciate his, you know, how he's – like, when he's not sitting there with somebody staring at him of, like, you better say the right thing.
Yeah.
He's perfect and can – articulate and everything, and I think that was really good for them to have.
I agree. Anytime he's up there doing that, I agree. Yes, sir. I can't read that far away. You know I'm blind as a bat.
All right. Well, we'll shift gears a little bit. We'll get back to that here in a few minutes, and let's bring in MTSU football coach Derek Mason, who is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
Chase the job. We're doing well. Salute to Service Week, FIU Week. Let's go.
I know you always enjoy that. I mean, being able to salute the military is certainly a positive thing. So I know that's got to be something that you all are very excited about.
We are. It's something at MTSU that's been a longstanding tradition. For me personally, it has significance. My stepdad was in the military, and the structure of the military was in our household. And throughout my life, and I've learned a lot based on those foundation, fundamental ideas about what's integrity, how to work, be a good man, do the right thing.
I know this has been tough for you because, you know, we've known each other a long time. And
you look
at the last four games especially – how close you've been. It's truly a matter of a couple of plays going differently. So how do you, you know, manage that with your group of keeping that fight with the three games that are left of saying, guys, we're that close to getting over the hump?
You have to be resilient for them and try to model the same thing that you want them to be able to show in this. You know, sometimes – the things that we go through reveal who we are. And I told our guys that if this is the toughest thing that you're experiencing in your life, then you're probably pretty blessed. This has been hard. I mean, it's a rough, you know, sort of stint, but football sort of mimics life, you know, at times. Different stages of your career, man, you're going to experience the highs and you're going to experience, you know, some lows. But, you know, through it all, what you start to learn is, man, you fight every day. You want to give yourself, you know, like, an opportunity for success. And this week provides that opportunity for us as we're on the back end of the season with this first one in November versus FIU.
We're talking MTSU head football coach Derek Mason on the Chasing Big Joe show. Yesterday, Coach, it came out that your offensive line coach, Kendall Simmons, is stepping away for personal reasons. I'm not going to ask anything more than that, but how important is it now? You know, we're big on mental health now. Thank God we're talking about that. How important is it, Coach, that you have that open door? If a player or a coach or administrator can come to you and sit down and say, hey, I need to talk and get this off my chest. How important is that for you?
Oh, it's as important today as it's ever been. You know, but the stresses of life, you know, happen. People endure, you know, in certain things. And what you're trying to do as best you can is provide resourcing. Sometimes it can get tough. It can mount. The stresses of life mount, you know, personal, health. All these things sort of come into this vacuum and there's times where you gotta sit down. You gotta, you know, ask yourself, am I at my best? What am I doing? How am I feeling? And once you decide that for yourself, you know, the toughest thing to do for people is to ask for help.
Yep.
I'm proud of Kendall in this process. I thought for him, he knows his situation. He understands him, and it just let me know. It's not a young problem. It's not an old problem. It is a problem. And so for us, we just have to manage our emotions, our feelings, and get help when we need it.
Amen. Thank you, Coach, for that. When you watch the past three games, you've lost three games by 8 points. And if you really sit down and think about it, it'll drive you crazy. But when you watch tape, I mean, there are so many opportunities, right? I guess the coaching line is we left a lot of plays on the field. You guys leave a lot of plays on the field because you're sitting there in these ball games and one or two bounces, it goes your way. It's a completely different season, isn't it?
Yes. That's the most maddening thing about, you know, where we've been the last 4 weeks. We see the get better, certain areas, defensively improving, you know, when the points have gone up. But there's still mistakes. There's mistakes in critical situations. And the margins are thin, so we got to shrink the margins. We understand that. We have to continue to keep asking for it. But more than that, our guys have to be able to see the margins, understand where the get better is, okay, and make it happen, because the only way this gets better is when we make it so.
Oh, absolutely. Coach, you take on FIU Saturday. You talk about Salute to Service Day. FIU, talk about a Jekyll and Hyde football team. 1 week they look fantastic. Next week they're like, oh, my goodness. But you got to expect they're going to bring their A game to Murfreesboro Saturday, right?
Yes. Coach Willie Simmons and a couple of former Blue Raiders on that staff will be coming back for, you know, a little bit of a homecoming for these guys where they spend some time and either went to school and played. They're going to bring their best to Murfreesboro. We have to show up with our best. The X's and O's are going to be what it is. When you get between the white lines, you got to understand what your purpose, process, and plan is, you know, for playing this ball game. It's an afternoon game. It's going to be a physical one. This group has dynamic players on offense, starting with their quarterback, you know, Kiwan. I mean, he's a good player with talent around him. And they've showed at times great offensive brilliance. When you look at the defense, it's led by Chauncey Jr., and he's a flat-out tackle machine. So we're going to have to meet physicality with physicality. We're going to have to out-execute and outperform an FIU team, man, that's had some, you know, highs and lows throughout their season.
You only got a couple of home games left. What do you need out of Blue Raider Nation?
You know, come out and enjoy, support. This weekend we have our Salute to Service weekend. I think our fan base, especially, I mean, with the weekend games, I mean, they've done a terrific job of being able to, you know, come out and see, I mean, Blue Raider football. But this one's going to be a little different. Again, I talked about the Salute to Service, but we're honoring, I believe it's our 65 team, and I believe it's one of our teams from the 80s. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I know both of these teams are undefeated. I mean, they had great players on these teams. They won OVC championships, and more than anything else, they sort of ushered in, you know, like the excellence that is the standard and expectation at MTSU.
Well, Coach, good luck this weekend. We always appreciate you. We're pulling for you, and we will talk to you soon.
Take care. Chase, Big Joe, love you. Let's go, Blue.
Appreciate you. Derek Mason joining us here on the program, the head coach at MTSU, and they are back in action at home. Go out there and see them taking on Florida International, a 2 o'clock kickoff, and we'll have pregame coverage for you starting at 12:30 on Totally Hits 93.3. The basketball team playing right now. I need to check the score on that.
Milligan, yeah. Milligan. And that's the thing, man. 3 games by 8 points, and they had the lead in all those games. As I told you last week, and, you know, full disclosure, I'm on the call with Chip Walters every MTSU football game. If they were getting beat 56-0, we would say, you know what, they're just not, bless their heart, they're just not good.
But they're right there.
They're right there. 4 games they've lost by a total of 16 points. Now, I know you can go on and spin it however you want to, but I'm telling you, these are 3 bounces they get. It's a completely different season, and we're talking a whole other line of questioning about this football team.
Congratulations to Coach Nick McDevitt and his squad. They are 1-0 to start the season, defeating Milligan 100-51 at the Murphy Center today. So talked to Coach McDevitt yesterday, and his squad gets it done.
Did you and him talk NASCAR?
Of course we did. We always do.
Who's his guy?
I think Chase Elliott. Well, I know it's Chase Elliott because his son loves Chase Elliott.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Maybe he also loves Chase McCabe.
I think so. We're buddies.
And Jamar Chase, and then on and on. And I bet he banks at Chase Bank. Yeah,
he could.
So our question of the day, real quick, we'll throw our question of the day in there. We'll have it throughout the show. We'd love to hear from you. For Titans fans, for your head coach, who do you not want to be here come January? We talk about who we want and who you want. Who do you not want to be a head coach?
Z.
The Titans when it rolls around in January. 615-737-1025. Who do you not want to be here?
I will give you my answer next. It is so simple for me. Very easy.
Okay, I don't
Our
know
question
this.
Of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. We'll answer that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 the game.
I think Mike's doing a great job holding everything together here under the circumstances, Paul, really. And Denard is a hell of a coach. And I have conversations with Denard all the time. And, you know, before we made these trades, it's not like we make these trades and don't have conversations. And you know, is he going to agree on all the trades? No. But I think at the end of the day, he understands it. And he understands that, that you know, he has a job to do. But, you know, you say you got a job to do. That's your responsibility to do the job. But, you know, his willingness to still do the job is why he's a good coach.
Wouldn't you like to see things be a little less conservative, given that you guys have nothing to lose in terms of the approach from the head coach?
Yeah, I mean, you still have to make smart decisions out there. He's the head coach, and he's going to make decisions that he feels best for the team. And when there's opportunities to be aggressive, we'll be aggressive. But Mike's done a tremendous job here under the circumstances here, too. Of being the head coach here.
That was Mike Borgonzi at his press conference earlier today. I will say that it's got to be an impossible position to be on this coaching staff right now, knowing that there's not a very high likelihood, unless your name is John Fossil, that you're probably not going to be back. I mean, there'll be a few others maybe. You know, there's always a couple of holdovers. Obviously, Arthur Smith is a prime example of that. But, you know, it'd be very easy, and he kind of alluded to that, to throw in the towel and just not care. All that said, I feel like some of the players are kind of like,
sure,
not going to be here.
All right, so who do you want? Who do you not want here in January?
Easy
That's our
answer.
Question of the day. Who do you not want to see here in January as the new head coach?
Easy answer.
Yep.
Bill Belichick. I don't even want to entertain it.
Why?
Because it's passed him by. North Carolina's a disaster, and I don't trust him to bring in the right people to develop a young quarterback.
Okay, I like it. My hot take, John Gruden.
I don't want John Gruden here.
You kind of changed your tune on that a little bit.
I have. I just think he's best where he is right now. He is an average coach-wise, record-wise. He did win the Super Bowl. I get that in 02. And don't tell me he won with Tony Dungy's players, because if I looked on the roster, it's John Gruden's team. So you win the game, Super Bowl. I'm out on him. I think he's called. I don't bring him here. I'm out on him.
Okay. I don't have an issue.
I don't think he could bring in the stat. I'm just not a fan. I'm like, go to college, have fun that way. I think that kind of thing is not motivating NFL players. I'm out on those two.
I think if he gets back in, it's going to be with college.
But I don't know why he would want, unless he's just dying to do it. Yeah. He's in a great position right now. Great position right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got the platform and he can talk football and.
Secondly, I don't want to see Mike McCarthy here.
I'm with you. I don't think so. Let's see. 1157 says, your question, I don't want the guy that's going to come in here and just fall in line and do the same old bleep.
Sure. Yeah. I want a football coach. I don't want somebody who spends half his time in Amy Adams' office or getting yelled at by Borgain. I want a football coach.
Yeah.
I don't want
Brinker here.
Yeah, okay, right? But it's going to be a connection with those guys. I mean, Borgante's got the Kansas City connection. That brings up Matt Nagy. Brinker's got the Packers connection. It brings up Mike McCarthy. And then, but you know, I'm on the Art Smith train, man. I just think Art Smith is looking for this opportunity because he knows what happened. Atlanta was out of his control. He can come here and do better. He's got the quarterback do better and get a lot more things done. And we like Art because he knows our name.
Yeah, and I, you know, there's a few people I've seen on the text line that have kind of, you know, they're quick to say no on Robert Saleh. And I understand that this organization is definitely not the example of how organizations should run, but he was with the Jets. They had, you know, the Aaron Rodgers stuff and, you know, just kind of a revolving door when it came to quarterbacks. So I think he could be the prime example of somebody that does a lot better of a job the second time around. And so you know, just because they didn't quote unquote win, and I know winning is everything, you have to look at the underlying stuff too.
Okay.
And so I think he comes from a winning organization in San Francisco. I think that
he's been through the fire.
He's been through the fire. I think Kyle Shanahan is a hell of a coach. And obviously, I mean, you think about what he grew up in and his father. I mean, his father's a hell of a coach. So I think that I would not be so quick to dismiss Robert Saleh because of what happened with the Jets.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Arthur Smith and the Falcons.
I'm just curious who people don't want to be here in January, who they are out on. I mean, this is a monumental football hire for the Tennessee Titans franchise because in 27, you're moving into a palace.
Yeah.
And you want to have some momentum moving into that palace. You got your quarterback. You got a few good receivers. You got a good tight end who could be developed. You got some good pieces moving in there. Now you need the head coach that can work hand-in-hand with the general manager, which is easier said than done. But I hear a lot of, you know, the James Franklin thing got me going. Like, no, we don't need James Franklin here. They don't need Belichick. And I don't want Gruden here either as well. But somebody can come in and be established and get it done. And to me, it's come down to three guys, Robert Saleh, Art Smith, and Matt Nagy.
Jeremy in Clarksville says, I'll take Belichick if he comes with 2010 Tom Brady.
Yeah. All right.
This is a little bit of a hot take. 0862 says, I think Gruden ends up in Cincinnati. I don't think Zach Taylor gets fired.
I don't think Gruden gets back in it at all. I think he enjoys this.
Who's what Brown is the owner now?
Mike Brown?
Mike Brown. Mike Brown is cheap. He always has been. He doesn't like to fire people because then he has to pay them.
Yeah.
Now, I got to look at Zach Taylor's contract. But, like, with Marvin Lewis, he probably should have fired Marvin Lewis, like, 6 years before he actually did.
Right. He did.
But he let his contract run out. And so I think the same thing would happen with Zach Taylor. And Zach Taylor has the excuse of, well, Burrow's hurt. And look how – I mean, to his credit, look how competitive they have been with Flacco at quarterback.
They have.
I mean, the last two games they've lost have been kind of bizarre walk-offs.
And you got rid of a defensive coordinator who immediately goes to the Colts and makes them better. So I don't see – I don't know. I think everybody's got a shelf life, and I think Zach Taylor's shelf life has been there. And now it's – he's came there in 2019 –
he's gotten them to a Super Bowl.
Got to the Super Bowl. They lost, but you regret. I mean, you can't have that label. Like, yeah, I got the Super Bowl, but if your last three teams are terrible, well, you know, it's time to move on.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. Hair Metal Henry, I don't want anyone who has not been a head coach already. No first time, this or that. No hottest name in football, none of that crap. I 100% agree. I don't want Joe Brady.
The hottest name in football. I always hate that, too, as well.
Yeah, I don't – I agree. They need to have been a head coach.
Now, you could argue some coaches in the past. Like, you know, Belichick went through the fire with the Browns. He came back out, and then he took over the Jets for 15 minutes, and then the Patriots. And then he talked about what he learned from the Browns. I mean, there's experience in these guys getting – Mike Shanahan was with the Raiders and got fired by Al Davis and learned so much about being a head football coach going through that fire. So that's like with Nagy and with Robert Saleh and Arthur Smith. They've been through that fire. They know what it takes. We laugh all the time. You have the red challenge flag. When you're the offensive line coach, you don't have to worry about throwing the challenge flag. When you're the head coach, you got to throw the challenge flag. You have 5 seconds to tell me to go for it on fourth and one. I mean, there's a lot that goes on that Brian Callahan, I don't think, realized as a head coach, which I do. I think Art Smith, Matt Nagy, and Robert Saleh realize all the ins and outs that go. You are a CEO. Yeah, you're the head football coach, but you're so much more. We had, was it Rondé Barber we had on, or his brother? Rondé Barber, right?
Yeah.
For the Bucks. We talked about Tony Dungy. He's like, you know, Tony Dungy was so busy doing other things that he came out and he was basically our assistant special teams coach. So your head coach is your special teams coach because he wants to coach. But there's so many other things from football pulling him away. Meetings with the owner, with the GM, other things going on there. You got to learn how to delegate. And I think three guys who've done that know what to do. I don't want to see anybody new anymore.
1157 with a good question. What is the record for NFL teams getting consecutive first overall picks? This is an article from the Sporting News back in 2022.
There's Didn't a Browns do it in 16 and 17, right?
Yeah, well, here's all okay. of them. And you remember these two teams, the 36 and 37 Eagles.
Yeah, man, boy, I'll tell you what.
The 39 and 40 Cardinals. Ugh. 76, 77 Bucks.
Terrible. That's expansion team though, so.
Yeah, 94, 95 Bengals.
Terrible.
Was that when they got a Kelly Smith?
No, that's when they got Dan Wilkerson and I think Kajana Carter.
Yeah, okay, you're right. The 99 and 2000 Browns, but 99 they were expansion.
That's right.
The 17 and 18 Browns.
Terrible.
And then I want to say, didn't the Jags do it?
Yes, Trevor Lawrence and then some dude that I remember.
Yeah.
Was he from Georgia that's on that team? Like, well, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah. It was just a moment.
Was it a linebacker?
It was Trayvon Walker, the defensive end from Georgia.
That's it. Is he still on the team? That's how little we
yes,
know about the Jags.
I think he is, yeah. So the Jags were the last to do it in 21-22. And so, then before that, the Browns, 17-18.
Was that Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You are correct, sir. And then before that was the Browns with 99-2000. And then before that, the Bengals. Do you remember? So who'd you say for the Bengals?
Why are you hiding? I can't see 2 feet.
Okay. Well, who'd you say for the Bengals?
Was it Dan Wilkerson?
Yep.
And Kajana Carter?
Yep.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
And then, yeah. And then the 70s with the Bucks.
Leroy Selman was number one.
Good Lord. Good job.
And then the next year was it Ricky Bell?
Yeah. Do you remember who the number one overall pick in 1978 was?
Earl Campbell.
Yep. That's right. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. So there you go.
That happens when you have no family and no life and you're 8 years old and read football magazines all day.
That is good. That is good.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Brian Bates joins us at 1 o'clock. Very funny guy. But up next, the state of Tennessee has an honor today, which we've never had before.
Okay. We will discuss that next.
It's football related.
Okay. We'll just... I think I know where
you're going. No, you don't do it.
I think I know where you're going with
okay.
this. We will discuss that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We're here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Hope you're having a good day to this point. Do want to pass along, Joe. It looks like a lot of the high school playoffs are being moved to tomorrow night. Got some weather coming in Friday, so
yes,
believe a lot of schools are electing to play tomorrow night instead of Friday.
That's a smart move because you're unsure what's going to happen. Unsure what's going to happen Friday night, so make it nice tomorrow night and move the games, and then we're trying to adjust the Fox 17 football schedule to get it done. All right, so
our Metro Schools game of the week, the final one of the year, will be a playoff game between Antioch and Shelbyville. That will take place tomorrow night starting at 6:30 on 94.9 The Fan. So we have moved that game. I'm excited to go over to Antioch and see Coach Arsente Broom and his crew against Shelbyville.
I love it. I'm going to root for Metro Schools every time.
Yep.
So go Antioch tomorrow night in their game. All right, so last night the college football playoff came out and all the teams that are ranked. And the state of Tennessee has three teams in the top 25 in their poll that came out last night. Tennessee at 25, Vanderbilt at 16, and Memphis comes in at 12, made the cut. I think it's really cool. Now, look, Tennessee's not going to make it. Vanderbilt's got the opportunity. Now, if they win their games out, they're there. Memphis keeps winning. They're in a group of five. I think it's very cool that we're talking about these teams, Vanderbilt and Memphis, get into the college football playoff in November, right? That's very cool.
No, I'm with you. I think it is really cool. So where do they have Memphis ranked?
12th. In the poll, the committee poll had them at 12.
Well, that's what I'm looking at.
They had 12 playing, right? Did I see that wrong?
They weren't ranked, but they're in the top group of five.
So they're not ranked.
Thank you, Jake.
That's crazy. They're not ranked, but they're currently the 12 seed because of the group of five.
That's the way they've set this up.
Yep.
So good for Memphis. And why are we not talking about that coach getting another job? Isn't he like 29-6 in his last 35? Something crazy.
I think we are. I mean, I think everybody kind of feels like he will.
Ryan Silverfield, is that his name?
Memphis, man.
He's a man. Power four school. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I think he will be.
I mean, he's a good coach.
You know what they should do? If he does take another job, just bring Mike Norvell back. He did a good job at Memphis. Bring him back.
He'd probably come back and coach for about $8 an hour. Yep. Do a nice buyout for him there. But I don't see Ryan Silverfield's name mentioned for anything. I always see these other guys.
Yeah.
What do you see him mentioned for? Moving up to like UAB, some lateral move?
I don't know.
Although UAB did beat them, which is bizarre. But he's done a great job. So congratulations to Memphis. If the playoffs started today, Memphis would be in taking on Georgia, but they're not. So a lot to go.
So right now what you would have with the first rankings – the first round buys in the number one overall seed, Ohio State, then in Indiana, Texas A&M, and Alabama. This is your fault. I do that, and I do, your ride is here because of you.
You do little Memphis, too, man.
Memphis.
I go over to Liberty Boulevard. That's where Jerry Lawler wrestled, Mid-South Coliseum, man.
First round matchups that would be on campus would see Oregon at Texas Tech.
Ooh.
The winner of that game would play Ohio State. The next game will be Memphis at Georgia, with the winner playing Alabama. Where's my spotter?
Can you fly him to Albany?
You'd have Virginia take
Well, damn,
Auburn.
They're spending more money on the spotter than they are the damn team. Sorry. It's not baseball, and you're all in on it.
They did Virginia Tech on Ole Miss.
I tell you what, I'm about to whip his ass.
Winner of that would take on Texas A&M. And then Notre Dame, which I'll get to that in a second. Notre Dame against BYU, and the winner would play Indiana.
Oh, I would love to. Notre Dame and BYU. Catholics versus the Mormons.
Do you think
spiritual war?
Notre Dame deserves to be in over Texas. Right now.
No, not at all.
Does Notre Dame deserve to be in right now over Oklahoma?
No.
Does Notre Dame right now deserve to be in over Vanderbilt?
I need to see Notre Dame's quality wins.
Okay.
They beat Boston College. I know that. They beat
Here are their losses are Miami to start the year, Texas A&M.
Two pretty good things.
Quality or wins are Purdue at Arkansas, Boise, NC State, Southern Cal.
Okay.
Boston College.
Nope.
And then they have Navy at Pitt, Syracuse at Stanford left.
So give me Vandy because when they beat LSU, it was a top 10.
Yeah.
Missouri top 15. South Carolina was ranked in the top 20 when they beat them. I'd take Vanderbilt right now. But they're always going to take Notre Dame over Vanderbilt.
Of course they are. But I just, you know, and look, it's a tough argument, too, of, you know, should they be forced to join a conference? But I mean, they have them in right now, and you know they're going to have them in, but I don't think I agree with that. So that's the first rankings, and as Joe mentioned, Tennessee at 25, Vanderbilt at 16. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I think they're right where both of those teams are probably right where they need to be. But that's just kind of how, I don't know. We'll see, and we'll see how much it's going to change.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's next week's going to be different. The week after that's going to be different, and on and on. But it's great talk show fodder for what could be, what might happen, for anything like that. So that's why we love this, what's going on.
And I said to our GM, Sean Fort, last night, who is from Memphis, went to Memphis. Yeah.
I thought he went to Georgia.
No, he's a big Georgia fan. Because I think his dad went to Georgia.
But he's a Memphis graduate?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll be unrelentless now on my Memphis with him. He'll probably end up firing me. Why'd you fire Joe? He wouldn't shut up.
But I said, I had to stop myself from
making
a joke. But anyway, I said to him, I'm like, hey, Memphis could play Georgia. And he goes, well, that's almost a guarantee they won't now because it was in the first ranking.
God, I hope they do. I'm like, Sean, man, we'll sign to Memphis down there, bro.
People are cracking up at us. it just said our stuff. Somebody wants to know what ring you're wearing. Is that your high school ring?
No, high school ring.
Or, I don't know. It looks
like a
high school.
Football ring from Samford.
Oh, okay.
We finished the season ranked number one, but we were on probation, couldn't go to the playoffs.
Oh. Okay.
So we all got it. So Jimbo Fisher's got the same ring.
That's pretty cool.
That he probably hasn't worn in 35 years.
What would you do if he did? What if
I'd
he's
laugh.
Wearing it right now?
Because he has a national championship ring, I'd laugh. I was like, what are you doing, man? What's going on?
Yeah, man. Coming up next, our buddy Brian Bates going to join us here from the Omni.
Yeah, as well. Hey, guys, friends, next week the Chase and Big Joe show turns to the Chase and Big Joe Great Road Show. We're headed to Key West, Florida for three fun-filled days, and we're taking you along with us. We're broadcasting from the stunning Marker Key West Harbor Resort, just steps from world-famous Duval Street. See how beautiful it is and the perfect place to stay in Key West? Go to the Marker Key West .com for more. Our coverage brought to you by the Roxy 8 Theater in Dixon, making the movie experience great again. The Nashville Cats. You know what the perfect gift is for this Christmas? Season tickets for the Nashville Cats as they look to get back to the AF1 Arena crown. Reunion Township at 109, comfortable luxury living in Mount Juliet that you deserve, and City Limits Apartments in Spring Hill. Resort-style living with an upscale lifestyle. That's all next week. You're going to be with us for the entire ride.
It will be fun. We'll be back with more on 102.5 The Game.